Welcome to the Edinburgh Fringe, where a parody is only as good as its promotion. Yes, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world. It's time to visit Edinburgh. If you're in the city, well, it's time to visit a different part as we head down to the Three Sisters. If you're in Scotland, well, you know where Edinburgh sits, the capital city for all of the year. And for everybody else, for 1 month of the year, the capital of the arts world. Yes, it's the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. It's your daily podcast. I'm Ewan Spence. And this is my Texan band who plays the theme tune. Thanks, Needfire. Sometimes we leave it to the fades out itself because we're out of the jingle. Yes, hello everybody. Welcome to Tuesday. We are getting closer and closer to the end of the Fringe. We are, though, what, 7 nights away from the very end of things. So much more to pack in. Some of the shows have already left of the 3,500. Some of them have just turned up, and this is only their second day taking to the stage here in Scotland's capital city. So do look at all those shows, whether they've been here a day, 2 days, 2 weeks, or they've just been trapped here forever in the basement at the Monkey Barrel. Right, okay, so award space, as we said yesterday, does pick up. And the big one, of course, at least in the comedy world, is that of the, you can't call them the Perriers anymore, the Edinburgh Comedy Awards. Theatre side, you probably think about it's the Stage Awards for Excellence and the Fringe first as well. But we don't have the, not the Perriers out yet. We should have the shortlist for that out in time for tomorrow's podcast. But right now, you'll remember that last week we talked about the Ish Awards. That's the comedy insert sponsor here, Awards. They had a ridiculously long list, which they aimed to get it down to a shortlist of 10. And much like So You Think You're Funny at the Gilded Balloon, that target of 10 names has, and I apologise for this, ballooned up to 11. So let's just rattle down here for some name recognition. So if you might catch your ear now, or you might be looking down a list later and go, oh, I remember them from the butt. So for the main prize in the shortlist there, we have Ed Byrne, Ian Smith, Janine Haroni, Julia Masley, Luke Kempner, Marjolaine Robertson, Paul Curry, Paul Foote, Phil Ellis, Seymour Mace, and Sid Singh. Sid, of course, you heard on the podcast last week as well, so it's always nice to have at least one of the interviews show up in these lists just to make sure that my radar is still working as well. In terms of the best show, there's no prize money for either of these because insert sponsor here, but best show shortlist there goes for Dan Tiernan, Fiona Ridgewell, Kelly McLaughlin, Lachlan Werner, and Lorna Rose Train. We will put a link up to, I think Chortle has the shortlist now, so we'll put a link over to Chortle there, and you can get ready to have a look at that after today's interview. When you do comedy, there tends to be a message behind that. The old adage of only punching up is born from many a hard-earned lesson on the stage. Now, you can do that sort of message politics, a message comedy, with quote, force, with aggression. But if you prefer a milder comedian, then why not ask Tom Mayhew? Tom's show for 2023 is This Time Next Year We'll Be Millionaires. And if you're mentally hearing the word Rodney there, then that's nothing to do with Tom or myself. Yeah, you can see why we talked about parody earlier. Yeah, but beyond the well-timed nods to something that audiences may be more familiar with to catch their eye when out and about looking for a show in Edinburgh, Mayhew has much to say about capitalism, on hopes, on dreams, and it's a whimsically sweet hour, and I so worry that's going to appear in the poster next year. But it delivers some sharp satire on the United Kingdom when you least expect it. I caught up with Tom early in the week to talk about his show. It's at the Laughing Horse Three Sisters, 6:30 p.m. in the evening, right through until the end of the Fringe on the Sunday, the 20th. That means there's two ends. There's Sunday the 27th and there's Monday the 28th. Depending on when you finish your show, that's when your Fringe ends. Tom's Fringe ends on the 27th. But his interview starts now.
Hi,
Ian Spence here, riding on a boat at the fringe once more for the podcast, and I get to be an old-fashioned American mid-Atlantic radio DJ now. Thank you very much for this, very Tom. It's long-time listener, first-time caller. Hello, Tom.
Hello, mate. It's good to finally be here in the podcast. This is great.
I mean, this is no pressure on me or you. It's just like, Ian, I've been listening for a long time, and I have a show this year.
Yeah, well, I was listening before I ever came to the Fringe when I was like a teenager, and this podcast was like my first insight into the madness of the Fringe, and I was like, oh, it sounds so exciting, and now it's only taken me about 15 years, and I'm finally on the podcast.
And is it all you ever? It wasn't all you ever dreamed of. We're sitting here in a windswept Edinburgh on a step outside the lecture theatre where I used to go through maths and calculus.
I mean, this is where I want it to be. I think this is where all comedians want to end up.
Aim low, achieve your goals. Thank you very much for that one, Baz Luhrmann.
Spot on, mate. Absolutely spot on. How are you doing? You good?
I'm doing okay. We're getting through the Fringe. You know, at this point in the podcast cycle, it's just get the interviews, get the shows, get the interviews, get the shows. And we have to get your show now. So, this time next year, Rodney, we'll be millionaires, but without the IP breaking phrasing.
Yes, exactly. It's basically this time next year it'll be millionaires, and I'm flying dressed like Del Boy, not as Del Boy to not get sued, even though I do think it would be a bit rich of them to sue me considering the context of the show, but they can be litigious. So I'm not actually dressed like Del Boy. I'm just wearing like a generic sort of yellow sheepskin coat, you know, the normal thing you would wear in summer in Edinburgh, I think. I think everyone's wearing them about, you know, so I think it's perfectly fine.
And this actually does speak to one of the interesting things about the Fringe, is there are so many acts that go as close as possible to something else to try and get that familiarity with the audience, but not actually crossing the line.
Well, I think it's a good tactic, like, especially if you can't afford like massive amounts of PR and posters and promotional stuff, like you may as well do something that's basically you going, oh, if you like this thing, you might like me. It's like on Amazon when it goes, if you like this, you might like... It's just doing that. And it's going, if you like this, then you might also like this show. And I think that's perfectly fair game. And especially as long as you're not blatantly ripping something off and billing yourself as the legit article, I think it's just good fun, right?
So are you essentially saying that you, Tom Mayhew, are what would happen if I ordered John Sullivan from Wish.com?
Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, I'll put that on my poster next year, I think. Yeah, I'm delighted with that.
So, tell us about the show.
The show is basically me talking about my attempts to try and become a millionaire this year, which mainly involves me trying to sell ridiculous props throughout my show and saying how I want to try and just sort of be better at sort of selling myself, because my dad's very good at, you know, selling himself and going up to people and hustling, and it's me trying to be a bit more of a hustler.
So when you look at Edinburgh and you look at everything that goes on here, would there not be a better environment to try and test out this idea than this financial melting pot of inflation?
I mean, when you say it like now, while I'm here, I do feel a bit stupid. But, you know, I just love Edinburgh. It's the only place where you can do a show every day. And luckily, I'm on the free fringe this year, so there's not as much of a risk. So I should be able to break even, which is that's a successful month. You know, you're just working, you know, basically 10 hours a day for 25 days and you break even and you go, oh, what a great month that was.
How has the show evolved?
It's got much slicker, it's got tighter and sort of the punchlines. It's just, I've improved little bits here and there. I think I'm having more fun with it and more freedom with it. Like, you know, in sort of the first few days, you're just sort of focused on, right, I've got to remember all these punchlines, remember the structure. Whereas now you're a bit further in, you can mess around a bit more with the audience and play around with them and sort of, you know, walk off stage and just wander around and just be a bit stupid, and it just becomes freer and I think funnier.
And what about the audience reaction? Has that changed throughout the run as well?
Yeah, I think numbers are growing. I think they have been going up and up and up this year, which is nice. It started with two people the first day, so I'd hope it would go up after that.
That's two people. That's one more person than an article that you need for the BBC News.
I know, and they were a couple, so I couldn't even tell one of them to sod off. Do you know what I mean? Like, So yeah, but it's going up. Like each week on a week, I'm getting more higher numbers and bigger buckets. So I think there's a little bit of momentum there, and it's hopefully that will continue, and it won't just nosedive in the last week.
I mean, we have talked a little bit there about the closelessness to classic BBC sitcoms and previous PR articles. It's nice to see that you won an award, but it's interesting to see what happened then.
What do you mean? What could you? I have no idea what you could possibly. I did. I've won many awards this Fringe. It's been a very successful year. I've done very well for myself. I don't know what you could possibly be saying, Ewan.
Yeah. And we will just wait for a pregnant pause and go, you know what I'm talking about, Tom.
I mean, I presume you're talking about me nominating myself for all three Malcolm Hardy Awards. Well, not even nominating. I put myself as the winner of all three Malcolm Hardy Awards on Wikipedia, and I've just left it there, and it's been there for about 10 days, and no one's changed it. So in my mind, I've won those three awards, and no one can tell me, because Wikipedia, there's no lies on Wikipedia. It's always the truth. So I've done very well this year.
So for those of you who aren't following the French heritage, Malcolm Hardy, who... I believe just over that fence once run a steamroller into another venue because they were too loud next door. One of the great alternative comics. There continues to be the Malcolm Hardy Awards up here in Edinburgh. One of them is for The Cunning Stunt, and you are doing your best to get that with various telegraphed manoeuvres.
Yes, I am. I mean, I don't know why you would use that word. I'm completely oblivious to what you're talking about. It's just so happens this year that I did manage to get myself nominated for the top 25 jokes of all time by The Telegraph. And I was the top 25. I was absolutely delighted.
Yeah, all 25 of them. Now, of course, there are many publications called The Telegraph. Some of them are very... We don't talk about them on this podcast because it's The Telegraph. And others are, you know, wholly and 100% owned by Tom Mayhew.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not a profitable company at the moment. It did cost me about £100 to get the domain name, but I set it up. I did fool a lot of people, and there were some comedians coming up to me like the week after, going, "Oh, I saw you made the Telegraph list," and I was like, "I did make it, but not in the way you're thinking."
How much fun is it to do these sort of things at the Fringe?
It's a lot of fun. I think it's what more of this stuff should be about, because I think, you know, people get so caught up in, I've got to pay money on PR and I've got to buy a flyering team and I've got to do all these things to promote your show, but none of it's very fun. And I think the whole point of being a comedian and putting on a comedy show is you should try and promote your show in a funny way. Like, if you can promote it in a way that makes people laugh, that will sell the show in itself, and that should be what it's about. And when there's people who just come here, just chuck money at it, I think they lose that spirit of it a bit, whereas really it should just be about being a bit of a prat and having a laugh.
And somewhere in that, find a million.
Hopefully, yeah, that's my aim. If I don't make a million this year, I will have to do... I don't know how I'm going to top it next year to try and make a million. Like, I might have to try and break into the Comedy Awards HQ or something and steal an award. I don't know what I'm going to do. But at the moment... I mean, I might make a million by the end of the Fringe. I mean,
there are two questions. That one is, what currency?
I mean, that's a very good question.
I mean, and the second one is... Is it going to be worth anything given the inflation in the United Kingdom right now?
Well, I mean, they're both very big questions. And what currency? I mean, I was planning pounds, but you are right. If I chose a different currency, I could be a millionaire straight away. So maybe I would just do that. So if anyone wants to come and give me like a million yen or something, I don't know what the... currency.
I don't know whether you've just dug yourself into a bigger hole or you've just asked somebody to bring you a Mars bar. I mean, other confectionery are available. None of them are sponsoring this podcast.
If one person puts a Mars bar in my bucket, I will be ecstatic. That will make me laugh for the rest of the Fringe.
Challenge accepted. Right. Where's that bucket going to be then, Tom?
That bucket is at the Three Sisters. It's at 6:30 for my show. This time next year, it will be Millionaires. Not affiliated with Only Fools and Horses, but Also, if you like Only Fools and Horses, you should probably come along, because I might mention it in the show. So do come along, and you can just put money in the bucket or put a Mars bar in, whatever you fancy.
Only Fools and Horses there from Tom Mayhew. We will have links, as always, back at the website, edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com. I would say links directly to the ticket office, but it's a free fringe show with a bucket, so links to the local B&Q, so you can bring your own bucket as well.
Yeah, please. At the moment, I don't actually use a bucket. I have to just use like an empty pint glass. So I always have to get my drink, and I always have to finish it before the end of the show. But at least four times I've forgotten to finish it. So my bucket speech has just involved me downing some Diet Coke because I didn't plan ahead.
But that keeps the budget down. That's it. Pennywise, fringe foolish. Thanks, Tom.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for having me.
Tom Mayhew there, and this time next year we'll be millionaires. That's playing down at Laughing Horse at the Three Sisters. Of course, you're doing it at the Free Fringe, so you're not going to lose a million, so the net benefit is next year you will be a millionaire. It's just that you didn't have the starting capital to get there. But anyway, Laughing Horse, Three Sisters, 6:30 p.m. through until the 27th. As always, links into the show. Here is with the edfringe.com website, but it is a free festival, so the bucket will be at the door, and you can find links at our website to that, and to Tom's work as well, edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com. As always, if you're doing stuff on the socials for us, link, like, love, share, subscribe, and you can pretend to be a very own fringe reviewer and head into Apple, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever, leave your own star rating for the show, 1 to 5 stars. But if you do leave us a 4-star, make sure that it reads like a 5. Or maybe leave us a 5 and make the review read like it's a 4. That probably works better for our SEO. Helps more people find us if you give us a 5 rather than a 4. But anyway, I am wittering. It's been a long August. It's getting longer. There's still more shows to see. So I'll catch you tomorrow here from the Fringe. You've been listening to the Edinburgh Fringe Show, hosted by Ewan Spence. Produced by The Podcast Corner. Listen to more from The Fringe at edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com.